But I want to tell you today my Christmas story. And that is the title, My Christmas Story. My mom really liked Christmas. And boy, she would really go to town decorating the house and everything. We'd start right after Thanksgiving, start decorating the house, and the decoration stayed up until after the new year. She always tried to make it nice for us. Christmas Day was the only day that my dad would actually sit down and play a game with us, usually some kind of a board game or other game that we received that Christmas morning. And we couldn't get him to do that the rest of the year, but on that day, you know, we were able to have a little bit of fun there. But it seemed like there was a really big buildup of anticipation, you know, for the day to come. And then it was over in a second. One day finally came that changed my whole perspective about Christmas, which had a big everlasting impact on my view of this day. My parents sat me down and told me there was no Santa Claus. I was devastated. I really thought that they were lying to me. How could this be possible? I was confused. I remember one early Christmas morning, I heard some noise and I kind of peeked out of my bedroom door and I saw my sister Tracy, and she was sitting at the end of the hall, you know, where the living room was in our little trailer home, and she was looking over at the Christmas tree. And I saw, I kind of whispered, "You better get back to bed, or you're going to get in trouble." And she did. Well, the next morning when we were finally able to get there and open up our gifts and all that stuff, you know, she told me, "I saw Santa Claus. He was by the tree." So now my parents are telling me that, okay, there is no Santa Claus. So who's lying? My sister? Did she really see it? Or did my parents? Or, you know, I was really confused about it. That's the first thing that came up when they told me that. It was this really tough. I mean, my sister was 4 years younger than me, and I kind of believed it, or maybe I wanted to believe it. In school, the next day, I decided to tell my friends in the cafeteria during lunch, since they were talking about Santa Claus, because he was coming to Ames Plaza, he was going to come in a helicopter that weekend. So I decided I was going to be bold and tell my friends that there was no Santa Claus, because my parents told me that. Some of these kids wanted to beat me up. They were really upset when I started talking about that. So they called over Mrs. Stevens, and she was the lunchroom monitor. And I remember all these people and all these names, and it was such a big impact for me. So they called her over and told her what I had told them. And she says, "Oh, no, there is a Santa Claus, you know. There is a Santa Claus, you know," and all the other guys sitting there, "See, you know, told you." Well, now I was even more mad and upset because I actually thought my parents lied to me. I went home that day angry at my parents. And I did confront them. And I told them what Mrs. Stevens had said. And how I got laughed at from the kids who... Well, then they sat me down and they told me the real story, like, there is nothing. I mean, you don't want to ruin it for these other kids because their parents might not have told them yet, but there is no such thing as Santa Claus, and you don't want to ruin that for your sisters either because they still believe. I know you might think this is kind of ridiculous, but it had a really great impact on me. My parents did lie to me. They lied about there being a Santa Claus. So I really wanted to believe that such a person existed. I really did. I always wondered why I didn't get the gifts. You know, I thought it was, you know, I was bad, so I didn't get the gifts I wanted. Now I realize it was my parents that didn't give me the gifts that I wanted. But it had a really big impact on me. But then they told me that the real meaning behind Christmas was about Jesus. But I believe that maybe this was just the next lie in the sequence of events. You know, how old do I have to be now before they tell me there is no such thing as Jesus? I really didn't know what was going on. My family didn't go to church. So telling me that there was a Jesus and everything, well, it wasn't very convincing to me at all either. And it's funny how in many of the Western cultures, Santa Claus is supposed to bring gifts to children all over the world by coming down the chimneys at night. I always wondered how he got the gifts into our trailer home. Whether they leave the door open for him, and we had no chimney. Many parents tell their children this lie every year. Yet Jesus taught in Matthew, if you want to turn to Matthew 15, Matthew chapter 15, we'll look at verse 19 and 20. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, false witness. These are the things which defile a man. I want to read a couple others. You can just jot down the scripture. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 19, verse 18. You shall not bear false witness. Mark 10, verse 19. Do not bear false witness. These are all things that Jesus himself is saying. Luke 18, verse 20. You know the commandments. Do not bear false witness. It is evil to break the ninth commandment according to Jesus. Those fully observant Christmas also seem to forget that Jesus taught that Satan was a liar and the father of lies. And that once their children get older, they will realize that their parents lied to them about this Santa Claus thing. This is what really bothered me the most. The Reims version of the New Testament specifically shows that Jesus taught the following in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 43 to 45. John chapter 8, 43. Why do you not know my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Are you your father? You are of the father, your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and stood not in the truth, because truth was not in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. But if I say the truth, you believe me not. This is what Jesus was telling them, the people. Pharisees. Lying to children does not improve the bond between parents and children, as some apparently hope the Santa Claus lie will somehow help their family. Please tell your children and grandchildren the truth. Is that not what Jesus would do? And I hope I didn't ruin it for anybody that believes in Santa Claus. I see Kevin over there crying. Christmas from then on wasn't the same for me. I actually didn't like it so much now. I do remember at an early age getting upset about the commercialization of Christmas. And on Christmas Day, I would actually go in my bedroom and wish Jesus a happy birthday. And I felt like I was the only one that remembered that it was supposed to be his birthday. And that whole commercialism, so many times you hear, like, you know, because people are upset about the commercialism, they can see it. They say, we need to put Jesus back in Christmas. However, it's impossible to put Jesus back in Christmas since he was never there to begin with. What is commercialism of Christmas, if not covetousness? Christmas observation breaks the 10th commandment as well as the 9th. Matthew 15 in chapter 19, which I already mentioned before, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. But now look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 22 and 23. Just breaking into a thought here. Covetousness, all these evil things come from within and defile a man. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Paul also said in 1 Thessalonians, you can just jot this down, I hear everybody trying to flip pages. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 22, abstain from every form of evil is what Paul says. We can turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, though. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll read verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Just look at all the stories you hear that happen around Christmas time. People charge up their credit cards and then they're paying the rest of the year for it, and so many other different tragedies and things that happen. Suicide rates are high and because people are alone. Many sorrows come from this because they're all about the greed. One of the reasons that Christmas is promoted across society is that the love of money by many promoters exceeds their love of God. Christians are to abhor what is evil. Christians are not to see how close to evil they can get without being burnt. That's in Proverbs 6, verse 27. Christmas observance is a sin because it encourages commandment breaking and violates other scriptures. We will look into this further. Yes, my family continued to celebrate Christmas. Me as well. I did enjoy getting gifts, but it just wasn't joyous anymore. However, let me tell you about my favorite Christmas. Yes, I do have one. My dad's cousin Lois and her family, they gathered up some groceries, donations from their neighbors, and a few other gifts. And her husband Carl and her son Carly, my dad and I, we took these items on Christmas Eve to a former co-worker who had fell on hard times. He was a Native American living on the Tuscarora Indian Reservation, living in a very small house, if you can call it a house. We walked in and greeted him and his wife, and they were very happy to see my dad and Carl. We started bringing in all that was gathered, and they were tearing up with gladness. off the kitchen was this little bedroom with a couple of, you know, a couple of triple bunk beds. First time I ever seen triple bunk beds. And there were around seven children peering out at the activity. They were well disciplined and stayed in the room. You can tell that they really wanted to come out, but they just sat there and they're looking. And they're looking out in excitement at all the things that we're bringing in. In the small living room that we walked into, which was attached to the kitchen, there was this very small little Christmas tree with seven very small gifts wrapped. It looked like probably a pair of socks, one for each of the children. And that was it. And it was probably all the children were going to receive that year. Just looking at the faces of those children when we were bringing all those things in the parents, this experience had a really great impact on me and showed me what the true meaning of giving was. My view of Christmas was now about giving to others and not self. I still didn't like it, but it meant a lot to my mom, so I endured it. But that one little event there was very special, and I'll never forget that, because that was doing something, and you should be able to do that any time of the year, not just on Christmas Eve. I do not remember any other Christmas from my youth, and nothing else really had that much of a big impact on me. And I really didn't care for it too much when I was stationed in Germany during my Air Force days. And the same thing went out in California where I was stationed afterwards. In fact, I began researching the Christmas story shortly after leaving the service out there. I was still living in California with my friend Ken, who was still in the Air Force. I spent a day in a library discovering the pagan roots of Christmas. They actually had to kick me out. They were closing. The origins of Christmas. I found out that it was nearly 400 years after the birth of Jesus that a date was actually fixed. Having no exact reference to the birthday of Jesus, the Roman Catholic Church borrowed a festival from another midwinter event, the Roman celebration of the birth of the unconquered Son. And pretty much the same thing with the Saturnalia, which Ron spoke about. This celebration was declared to fall on December 25th by the Roman Emperor Aurelian in 274 AD. There had been a cult of Sol in Rome from very early times. The Etruscans predated the Romans by several hundred years. They founded the capital city of Kisma Alma, or Golden Apple, around 750 BC. The city was renamed Roma by wandering Romans who intermingled with the Etruscans. They worshipped a sun god, Katha, or Ketha, which was later identified with the Roman god, sun god, Sol. In about 10 BC, the Roman Emperor Augustus replaced Sol with the Greek god Apollo and instituted celebratory games in the god's honor. I found references to a reborn god as well. Stories of the Egyptian god Osiris, whose mysteries were celebrated around the time of the midwinter. Born to Geb and Nut, he took Isis for his consort and set about bringing peace and order in the arts and crafts to the world, according to their mythology. He was much beloved and worshipped throughout the ancient Mediterranean world, as well as in Greece, Osiris was later murdered by his jealous brother Set, who dismembered his body and hid it in various parts of Egypt. Some traditions indicate there are as many as 42 pieces. Isis searches for the remains and restores Osiris back to life on December 25th. The story of his death and resurrection came to be seen as a representation of the rising and setting of the sun. Horus, which is the son of Isis and Osiris, is often graphically represented as sitting on the knee of his mother Isis in a pose later transferred to the images of the Virgin Mary and Jesus. I continue to find more and more pagan beginnings of Christmas celebration being practiced in the religion, and which predated the actual birth of Jesus Christ. You know, Ron mentioned a couple of them, but there is so many. There's so many different origins. And a lot of this even goes back to Nimrod of the Bible. Legend is that Nimrod was also dismembered and his body was spread all over, just like Osiris. They're one and the same, pretty much. All right, well, I was really overwhelmed about this, and now I had proof that Christmas had nothing to do with Jesus. I was excited, and I couldn't wait to tell everybody what I had discovered. It was just amazing. My first victim was my roommate, Ken. I came back and I started telling him all about this, and he just walked off to his bedroom. Well, that didn't, you know, me. It didn't stop me from still talking. I kept on rambling on. And the next thing you know, he's coming back out, and he's got a stack full of Plain Truth magazines in his hand. He sits me down, and he tells me about how he grew up in the Worldwide Church of God. And he introduced me to the World Tomorrow program with Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong, and told me all about the church. Yes, the first person that I wanted to tell knew all about it already. Isn't that wild? Well, you could say that is how I got introduced to the church. But you can say that my dislike for Christmas led me to the truth and revealed to me by God. Interesting how things do work out when God is calling. This was the open door that brought me into the Church of God. I met Rosalie. We were married. We had our first child, Ron. Things were okay in the church. Yet changes were being made to the doctrines established by Christ and held by the church. We went to our last Feast of Tabernacles in the church in 1995. And then there were no more. The church began to move away from Christ's teachings and those restored by Mr. Armstrong to the church. The Sabbath was gone, even though we continued to have services on Saturday. It just wasn't held up as being important anymore. In fact, some of those that really needed to work, they were allowed to go and work on Saturday now. We took it all in stride, afraid of going up against the leaders of the church. Each week, another member in the church was disfellowshipped somewhere in the United States. We always got the announcement. Times were rough for us all. I was trying to pick up the pieces of my life, and Rose and I were repairing our crumbling marriage. We survived, and our daughter Rebecca was born. We hung in as best we could. Then I went back into the military service again, this time the Army. Yes, we went along with no holy days, and the Sabbath being reduced to just another day. plus many other changes. I totally rejected the new view, which embraced the Trinity, yet I kept silent about that. I wasn't quiet about the new teaching that our calling wasn't special anymore, because I know it was. I know my calling by God was special. But they said, no, it ain't special, it just happened, it's no big deal. Then Mr. Joe Tkach Jr. told us that we can now celebrate Christmas. We're told that it honors Christ and gives awareness to our Savior Jesus. We're told that this was the one greatest event in mankind and we should celebrate it with other Christians. Yes, it was a great event, but are we to honor this holiday? I had an extremely hard time with this, as you can imagine from my story thus far. After all, my unbelief of Christmas led me into the church, only to have the leaders of the church say, now it's okay. One of the scriptures in the New Testament that was used was in the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 5. One person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives thanks, or gives God thanks. When you read this chapter from the beginning, you will know that it is referring to fast days. Many in the Jewish culture, they had different fast days, that they had set days. And there was questions whether or not they should keep those same fast days. But this was what I was talking about. However, these same verses are used for keeping Christmas and Sunday worship and for not keeping the holy days and the Sabbath. However, back then I wasn't really too focused about this, enough to see that this was what was really going on with those scriptures, so I kind of fell into it. I was deceived, as many were. It wasn't long before everyone was celebrating Christmas in the church. I was especially amazed of those who grew up in the church. Their whole lives, they were denied this one thing, and now they were allowed to indulge themselves in the festivities of Christmas. They couldn't wait to sink their teeth into this forbidden fruit. It was amazing. You see, all those that were disfellowshipped, they went off into other of the splintered churches that were still keeping the Sabbath and not keeping Christmas. Of course, I didn't realize that at the time. They held fast to the truth and left us behind, those that were weak in the spirit, to be deceived. Yes, we finally fell too. Rose and our children saw everyone else falling into this trap, so we jumped in too. I struggled a little bit, but at that point in time, it was just like nothing mattered anymore. My religious tolerance was so low, I was just treading water and hanging on, I guess. We got a Christmas tree. An artificial one. And decorated, and we exchanged gifts. But I did not tell my children there was a Santa Claus. Never ever told them that. Just the opposite, in fact. When my daughter was old enough to question it, I told her the truth, and she replied, and I had to clean this up, I knew that fat, censored, wasn't real. But I would never lie to my kids because that was such a devastating thing to me. However, 1 year came by, then Rose wanted a real Christmas tree. So I buckled under the pressure and we went to get one in Lackawanna on Ridge Road. It cost me $65. I put it in the back of the truck. We got on the thruway, headed home to Hamburg. We had driven a good distance and then we heard something. The tree blew out of the truck. And it was in the middle of the thruway. So I pulled over immediately. I got out of the truck. It was night. And I started running back to this tree. And all I see is headlights of these cars. And they're swerving around the tree. And then beeping the horn at me as they're going by me. And I'm running back trying to rescue my tree. Tractor trailers don't swerve. They were running the tree right over. They were just going, mowing it down and beeping their horn at me as well. I finally got to the tree and I dodged into traffic. I pulled the tree off, go back and grab off all the broken branches that were laying in the road too. I was mad. I was lividly mad and I dragged it, put it back in the truck, drove it home, dragged it into the house, took a hammer and nails, and I nailed down all those branches back on the tree, put it in a stand, put a circle of lights on it, and says, "There! There's your Christmas tree! Never again!" That was it. And we never did get another Christmas tree after that. In fact, I just gave up on Christmas completely. You know, I can give a whole sermon about Christmas tree's origin. But to sum it up, the evergreen trees have been part of the pagan god worship for many years, even before Christianity. The Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians, the Babylonians all displayed evergreens as a tribute to the respective sun gods. But I bet they never had one that was nailed together. I began to question the leadership of the church and all the changes that they had made. I examined one more scripture that was quoted in a letter from Mr. Tkach Jr. That is in Philippians chapter 1, if you would like to turn to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 18. This is one of the prison epistles. Paul was in prison at this time when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. This was a real stretch in using this example, it is plain to see that Paul heard that some were preaching about Jesus for their own ambition, and some were actually truly serving God sincerely. And as he says, Jesus was being preached. The truth about Jesus and his teachings were being taught by these men. Not some false Jesus who was born on December 25th. This was taken by the church to say that Jesus is being taught by celebrating a pagan festival that honors Satan. When you really sum it up. And they were using this saying, this is why it's okay. Read that whole chapter and see if that's where what you understand from that. Those men, whether they were doing it for their own gain or not, they were actually preaching what Jesus had taught, not some other false Jesus incorporated around pagan religion. But this is what they used. Brethren, the God of the Bible condemns using pagan practices to worship Him. Notice again what God had His prophet Jeremiah write in Jeremiah 10, verse 2 through 5. I know I've covered this before. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of a hand of a workman with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammer that it may not move. They are upright as a palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is there any good is it in them to do good. That was the King James Version. God clearly says not to adopt non-Christian forms of worship. And this seems to include objects like Christmas trees. Now, some may argue that since the tree cannot do evil, that it's okay to have them anyway. Those who feel that way may wish to ask themselves why God would then want the following to be said with such trees. In verse 11, thus shall you say unto them, the gods that they have not made the... Let me try that one again. The gods that have not made the heavens and earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. That's Jeremiah 10, verse 11, King James Version. The God of the Bible clearly does not want people using Christmas trees to pretend to honor Him, as He clearly is not honored by such things. Of course, some may wish to reason about that by claiming that they are trying to honor the God of the Bible and not pagan gods with things such as these Christmas trees. Or even reason around them thinking it is simply, you know, having a Christmas tree but observing Christmas honors Jesus. Thus, this is not a sin. I do find it very interesting how every Christmas morning children are bowing down before the Christmas tree on their knees, almost in a form of worship. Even when the parents are putting the gifts underneath, they're bowing down to this tree. If they cannot see that, perhaps they can realize that this is a sin by reading Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 through 32, which my son already stole from me today. But when you look at right in there it says that they were not supposed to go into the lands and do what those heathens that they were kicking out of that land, they weren't supposed to inquire how they worship their gods and do the same to worship God. I mean, you can even go back to the golden calf. They put that golden calf up and made that golden calf. Now, that was not, they weren't honoring that golden calf, but they said that that golden calf was a representation of the very God that led them out of Egypt and led them through the Red Sea. That was the image they decided to make God look like. They were actually thought that they were honoring God with this image. But you see where that got them. God does not want us to set up some type of an image of Him. We're supposed to be worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. Not some little idol. Well, I will skip reading Deuteronomy 12, verses 29 through 32. But many will reason that this was the Old Testament writings, and Jesus is more forgiven. Remember, Jesus is the one that inspired these words to be written. I want to refer to the December 10th, 2010 email that the Glendale, California-based Grace Communion International, the former Worldwide Church of God, sent out a link to a short video entitled, "Is Keeping Christmas a Sin?" It was sent out by its president, Joe Tkach Jr. And in it he stated, in this article, "Is Keeping Christmas a Sin?" "In my younger days, I believed that celebrating Christmas was a sin. I wanted to let the Bible guide me in everything I did. And since I couldn't find any commandment in the Bible to keep Christmas, I concluded that keeping it must be a sin. Of course, it wasn't very good logic, and it kept me from enjoying one of the most meaningful and joyous celebrations of the year. After all, if we never did anything that is specifically commanded in the Bible, we wouldn't have Sunday school, children's church, English language Bibles, printing presses, public address systems, fire alarms, or charcoal grills. None of these are specifically commanded in the Bible." Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. He's relying on human reasoning, not the Bible. His logic simply does not have the proper biblical support. For example, while Sunday school and children's church is not in the Bible, teaching children daily is. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 and 19, where it says to be teaching the children daily, not just on the Sabbath or Sunday, but every day. In his presentation, Mr. Tkach also stated, "In fact, the fact that the Bible does not command us to celebrate Christmas is not a valid argument against Christmas celebration." As we have seen today, there are many biblical valid arguments against observing Christmas that apparently he overlooked. Look at the title. Is keeping Christmas a sin? Is keeping Christmas a sin? Okay, what is sin? Oh, you know where I'm going with this one. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 4, I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Okay, we've already seen how Christmas breaks the 9th and 10th commandment. Does it break more commandments? Does it break more commandments? Well, it definitely breaks the first commandment, as God is not being worshipped. How should we worship God? Well, Jesus kind of tells us that in John chapter 4, if you want to turn to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, Jesus tells us, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Listen to this next scripture and see how it can apply to Christmas worship. This one is Mark chapter 7, verse 6. Mark chapter 7 and verse 6. This is Jesus. "And he answered and said to them," Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Around Christmas time, many people are not even thinking about Jesus. They're thinking about the gifts and what they're going to be doing, getting together with family time and all that. And all that is really nice, to get together and spend some time with family. However, they're not thinking about God. They're not thinking about Jesus. Their hearts are not set on God. They're set on other things. They're only got Jesus on their lips a little bit. Teaching traditions that men came up with to honor their false gods. That's what they're doing. That was the first commandment. The second and third commandments are very obvious of how Christmas breaks them. False gods, idol worship, and taking Christ's name in vain. Think about that. Christmas is actually Christ's Mass. That's what the Roman Catholics came up with, Christ Mass, or Mass of Christ. That's where the word Christmas comes in. And this does not give honor to Christ's name at all. It really doesn't. The fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath holy. How can Christmas break the Sabbath day? Well, let's turn to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, you have the Feast of the Eternal God. Leviticus 23 and verse 1. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Eternal, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." And then it continues to go on. It talks about the Sabbath as the very first one. And it talks about the days of unleavened bread and Pentecost all the way up to the Feast of Tabernacles. It covers every one of those days. This is a system of worship, which includes the Sabbath, that God set up for us. He set this up. To deviate from these or to add to these is against God. In Matthew 28, Jesus himself tells or instructs us what to do. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That is a key phrase. Not something that was added 400 years later. What Christ had taught right then and there. The apostles didn't immediately start celebrating some type of Christmas or honoring Christ's birthday at all. They did what Christ instructed them while he was with them for them 3.5 years. Honor your parents, the fifth commandment. Ask yourself this question. Does Christ honor God, our Father? Christ, our brother? Or the church, our mother? How does it do that? By observing this holiday, which has nothing to do with God or Jesus, we dishonor God. For more of an instruction, look at Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1, it talks about how the priests were defiling God's table by bringing things that weren't honoring God's name. See, you got to look at, you know, there's a bigger picture than just with these commandments. Especially the next few commandments. They're broken spiritually. Since the law applied to us is spiritual. It is a spiritual law, and that's what Jesus came to tell us. Not just a physical law. He gave the spiritual meaning behind these things. So when you look at the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, it is broken by, get this, those who would condemn or persecute us who do not keep it, who do not keep Christmas. Some really get mad at us when we tell them we're not celebrating Christmas. It's unchristian after all. However, you know, being mad at your brother is a spiritual type of murder, isn't it? And many get upset when they find out that we will not keep this. What about the seventh commandment about adultery? How's Christmas break that? Quite a few ways. Let's look at what James says, though. James chapter 4. Let's look what he says. James, as you know, was the half-brother of Jesus. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. When I first came into the church, and especially after Rose and I were married, our families were really upset that we would not even attend a gathering on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And what about those work Christmas parties that they all want you to be at? To compromise is to give in. It is to become friends with these worldly systems. I, for one, do not want to be an enemy of God. The eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Think about that one. How does Christmas break it? Well, many of us know that Malachi 3 talks about robbing God. You know, many will withhold the money that they had designated to be an offering to buy gifts. Those out there in the world. But spiritually, we rob God of our worship by giving it to this false god that was born on the 25th. Again, I already covered the 9th and 10th commandments. So you can see how Christmas can break every one of the commandments. And if you really look at this holiday and others like it, and then look at the commandments and what Jesus teaches us, you can find much more examples of how this celebration is totally against God and totally defiles Jesus Christ. This is just touching the surface. Check it out and just think about all the situations that you've seen around these holidays and how it can break the commandments. And you could take every one of these pagan festivals that they've Christianized and see how it breaks the Ten Commandments. It's very easy. God has been very gracious to me and my family and all of us. He called me out of this world, allowed me to go back into it, to learn a few more lessons. I guess I really needed that. And then he rescued me again, and I'm very thankful that he did. I learned a lot of lessons. That tree, that stupid tree, what a lesson that was. If that wasn't a lesson from God, I don't know what was. Brethren, I know that we can feel alone sometimes when we follow God's way and reject the teachings of men. But know this, there are a few of us that our great God is working with. And we will have the opportunity one day to teach God's truth to others. And one last thing. Remember, there's only 100 days until Passover.